The scripture reading comes from, it says Matthew. Sorry about that, it should be Mark, because we are doing a series in Mark. And of course, Matthew is different from Mark. Mark chapter 5. 21, from 20, verse 21 to 43. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. So she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what had happened to her, came down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he put them on all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. When he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of old age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know, and said that something should be given her to eat. Grass withers and flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Mark tells us one story in this chapter that has two distinctive events, or you can call two episodes. Two events, you can see the focus
shifts from the first story to the second story, and then focused comes back to the first story. He was traveling, and somebody came, asked him to save his little daughter, and he was on the way to the place, and he was interrupted, distracted, if you may call it that way, by a woman who had been suffering from the illness for 12 years. And then the woman gets healed, and he continues his journey to raise the dead girl. Focus first, second, and back to the first story. And those two events are somewhat different from each other. One is about Jesus healing a little daughter of the ruler of synagogue, whose name was Jairus. And the other story was about the healing a woman who had been suffering from flow of blood for 12 years. This woman received healing while she was still alive, but the girl dies. And Jesus did not heal her, but raised her from her death. However, despite of the difference, some differences, both events have one common theme. Both events highlight the awesome power of Lord Jesus Christ, who heals and even restores life of someone who was dead. He is the one who restores and heals a sickness and diseases. If you think about sickness and disease and illness that we witness and we experience day by day or month by month, they are result, consequence of our sin. Even with the advanced medical technology, we witness sickness and death frequently, something unavoidable. So that makes us to take death and sickness as a natural part of our life. But there's one point that we need to remember before we get into the actual story. That is, if you think about it, when God created this world, there was no sickness, there was no death. Sickness and death, they were not meant to be part of us. They were not meant to be natural to us. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God saw that it was good. Sin, however, entered into our world by our sin, our disobedience. It's a tragic event, and it changed everything. Sickness, pain, thorns, and thistles came. Death to everyone. For out of dust you were taken, and to dust you shall return. So we can say sickness and death, they are unholy intrusion into God's good creation. So Bible looks forward of the day of new earth and new heaven where there's no sickness and death. Someday the promised seed of woman will eradicate all these problems of sin, death and sickness. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, speaks about this. Now I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So, God's ultimate purpose in this redemptive history is to bring the righteous people to the new heaven and new earth. So all these healing accounts that we see in the Gospel, in New Testament, were individual stories, individual persons that Jesus healed them. They all point to the last day. Every healing is an anticipation of the day that is yet to come. The fact that Jesus granted the healings make us realize that Jesus is the only way to the new earth and new heaven. So the theme and the points are these. Our faith is imperfect, but Christ is perfect. He is the only way. It's not ourselves, our action, or even our faith that brings to heaven, but He is the one who brings to heaven. And our faith is an instrument that helps us to rely on Him. First point, Jesus heals the helpless woman. And second point, Jesus raises the dead girl. Our text begins from verse 21. He crossed over the lake once again. A great multitude gathered to him, and there was one of the rulers of the synagogue came. His name was Jairus. He fell before his feet, and he was extremely desperate. He asked Jesus to come to his home so that he may lay his hands on his daughter, that she might receive healing. And Jesus agreed. But the rush to the girl's house was interrupted by a nameless woman. The girl's father was so desperate, and so was this nameless woman. She secretly sneaks to touch Jesus' garment in hopes that it will restore her to death, her health. Now, brothers and sisters, notice that this woman had this sickness for 12 years. And you might also have noticed that this little girl that just was going to go to was also 12 years old. So that means as long as this girl had lived, the woman had this suffering. 12 years of bleeding. Oh, for me, I had some problems with my fingers, and it bleeds from time to time, but it stops when I put band-aids. But think about it. Never stop bleeding for 12 years. Mark tells us that in verse 25, a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, and rather grew worse. Must have been very frustrating for 12 years. She visited this doctor or that doctor, any renowned doctors. She was desperate and made a journey here and there, but never got better. She spent all her money. And again, the worst part is her illness got worse. We do not really know exactly what disease was, and we do not need to know what the exact name of the illness, because that's not the point of this passage. What the Holy Spirit is telling us through Mark is that this woman tried many things to get rid of this sickness, and she was not successful. However, her problem was not only limited to the physical illness. She not only suffered for 12 years, but also had been ritually unclean for 12 years. According to Leviticus 15, verse 25, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her unusual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. So for 12 years,
condition,
made her excluded her from her community. The woman was excluded from the fellowship of God's people, worship. She was suffering social exclusion along with intense and deteriorating physical condition. Anyone who touched her would become unclean. This woman was somewhat similar to lepers who were also excluded from society because they were unclean. Bible says, life is in the blood. The woman had to witness the sign of death as her blood drains from her body daily. And she comes to Jesus. Notice the verse 28. She comes with a strong conviction. Notice her firm, certainty in her language. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And that was right. Yet, brothers and sisters, her faith seems to be very firm, yet sounds very superstitious, doesn't it? If I touch his clothes, I will be made well. In fact, she was not the only one. She was not the first one who tried to touch him. Earlier, Mark tells us that many who suffered disease pushed forward to touch him, in Mark chapter 3, verse 10. People intentionally wanted to touch him, and Jesus was about to be crushed. That's why that explains the background of this passage. He was crossing over the lake because he began to preach from a boat, because everybody was so into touching him. If you work in a mission field or travel to some countries, you will find out that there are so many ridiculous superstitions. I can tell you just one story. In Japan, there's a tradition that if you have a malfunctioning organ, such as liver or kidney or pancreas, you can get a cure by eating a unhealthy liver or pancreas of other animals. It's barbaric. It sounds ridiculous. The funny thing is, some people do believe in that superstition. In the ancient world, there was a notion of thinking that if someone had a power, then that power could be transmitted through the clothing. It seems like she was influenced by that superstition. In other words, her faith was surrounded by superstition. When she touched him, she felt in her body that she was healed. And Jesus immediately noticed that the power had gone out of him, and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told the whole truth. And you might wonder, and you might have guessed why she feared. And there are a number of reasons. She may have felt so guilty for violating the Jewish purity regulations. If you touch, or somebody touches you, the person becomes unclean because you're unclean. Woman may have been concerned that she may have stole a power from Jesus without asking. And also she might have been fearing that she passed her uncleanness to him. But we know from the previous chapters that the lepers who were unclean did not defile Jesus. Now, it is very worth to pay attention how Jesus responded. First, why did he bother? Why did Jesus call attention to what she had done? It might cause public humiliation. Has she not suffered enough public embarrassment? Was that really necessary? He could have let her go in peace, and perhaps could have given her a silent wink. As the disciples said, there were so many people trying to touch him. So what's the point? But Jesus did not allow her to slip away because he wanted to make a very, very important point. Verse 34 is the key. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." The assurance, go in peace. She was trembling, fearing. Shalom, go in peace. And this is affirmed by the way that he called her. Jesus called her daughter. Let me remind you again that she was excluded from the fellowship of God's people. Community, society, loneliness, not only for months, for weeks, for a couple of years, but 12 years. That single word, daughter, has a very significant point, which means Jesus welcomes her, this woman, as a child of God. He does not consider her as unclean or sick. Also, Jesus points out that it was her faith that has made her well. Not her works or her touching. Imagine if Jesus just let her go without telling any of this. Of course, she was happy that she got healed. But she might have another superstition or misunderstanding. The scientists had a little experiment that scientists put the mice in the box and then randomly opened the door that the other side of the door there was a piece of cheese. And the mice started to do anything. They were trying to knocking the door, sniffing, or dancing or walking around. But all of a sudden, after that, things that they had done, all of a sudden the door opens. And the mice, next experiment, they started to do the same thing over and over again, not knowing what caused the door to open. Same thing over and over again. Jesus wanted her to be free from that kind of things, her superstition, misunderstanding. He said, "Daughter," and the emphasis on here, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." From this verse, there is something that we can learn from his ministry. Look how pastoral he is. Look how compassionate, understanding he is. The woman was trembling in fear, but our Lord, Good Shepherd, talked to her gently and softly, but clearly. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Well, Jesus could have said, "Woman, what is wrong with you? You foolish, superstitious woman, did you really think that you're going to get healed by touching my garment? You know how foolish it is to believe in the old wives' tales?" But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't blame her. He simply said, "Your faith brought you the grace and mercy of God. You see what he's trying to do? He tries to be gentle so that she may understand, she may pay attention. And then he brings the core message. He separates her faith and her superstition, letting her know the importance of her faith, relying on Jesus, not relying on her action. Another point that we can learn is this. It's not a great faith that brings us to mercy of God. It was faith that was lacking, weak, and from time to time mixed with superstitions. But even this weak faith, small faith, by this faith, she was healed. If you think about it, it's very striking, isn't it? The Lord did not want her to remain lacking understanding, so he brought her out from the shadows. He didn't leave her as a secret believer. He brings her to the light. And that is why Jesus insisted to find the woman who touched his garment. So lesson is very simple. The Lord detects even a grain like a small faith. Because a faith is not really the source of power. That means it's not her faith that performed the miracle. Jesus is the source. And faith is an instrument by which we receive the benefits of Christ. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You can imagine vine, branches. And the faith is like a straw, little straw, by which we receive good things from Jesus, who is our vine. And that little straw, or tube, you may call, or vein in the stem, perhaps it may be weak, but the Lord's power is so great that it overcomes the weakness of the instruments. And most of all, Apostle Paul calls this faith as a gift of God. This leads to the second point. He raises the dead girl. Now the healing miracle happened when Jesus was on the way to Samaria. And yes, he was going to see the daughter of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And you can see Jairus had only one goal. One goal only. That is to bring Jesus as quickly as possible before his daughter dies. Jairus knew for sure that Jesus could heal her. She will be healed, he said. In that sense, he had faith. Yet his faith was not perfect, because his entire hope was on how fast Jesus can get there. He believed that Jesus could heal him, but he did not know that Jesus could raise even a dead person. And then something unexpected happened. Jesus stopped walking. There was a distraction that Jairus did not anticipate. Within the large crowd, it is perfectly normal to bump to this person or that person. Besides, so many people wanted to touch him. It could be anyone. His disciples also said they just couldn't understand why Jesus intended to find someone who touched him. Put yourselves in the shoes of Jairus. Time is ticking. He has no time to lose. Every minute, every second is so precious. And Mark does not tell us, but you can imagine there was a growing of discomfort in this man. Jairus was listening to what Jesus was saying to this woman about faith and healing and peace. But I'm sure he was not really listening. The woman was rejoicing, but Jairus was too busy thinking about his daughter. He probably was thinking, why is this stopping? My little girl could die any moment. I know this woman is desperate. I understand that, 12 years. But my daughter is only 12 years old. Does he not know that the timing is all that matters? And verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Again, put yourselves in the shoes of this man. When Jairus heard the news, it must have been extremely unbearable for him. You can almost feel the emotional turbulence in him. You can imagine the big thunderclap roaring in his head. His daughter is dead. She was only 12 years old. Devastating. Not understanding why. But here we see how warm and pastoral our Master Jesus is. He says right away, as soon as he heard the word, which means he does not leave Jairus in deep despair, "Don't be afraid, only believe." The Lord's delays are never unforeseen. His delay was not an accident. His delays are never thoughtless. Brothers and sisters, delays. Sometimes we don't like to wait. We don't like to delay. But sometimes delays can expose many things. In this case, his delay exposed the depth of Jairus' faith. How does he understand the identity of Jesus Christ? Is he just a prophet who performed many miracles? Is he just a teacher who teaches a good moral lesson? Or is he the Messiah from the Old Testament prophecies? Mark does not tell us how Jairus understood with regards to the identity of Jesus Christ. But for some people, Jesus was merely a teacher. We see that in verse 35. Some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Well, to be fair, it was a normal practice to call someone teacher to show respect. But the point is, if you knew truly that what he's capable of, what Jesus was capable of, that he can make a dead person alive, then people would not call him simply teacher, would they? They would call him Lord. So, again, Jairus, he had a faith. Yes, he did. But not a big faith, not a great faith. Well, it's the same with us, brothers and sisters. For us, the Lord seemed to delay so long because we do not understand and truly perceive what he can do. We experience that all the time. It seems that the Lord does not respond quickly enough. People say and ask, "I do pray every day before every meal. How is that the Lord is not giving me an answer? How come the Lord is quiet when I'm in this tribulation?" Well, there can be many answers. Perhaps the Lord wants to expose the depth of your faith. Perhaps the Lord wants to expose how you think of him. Do you think him as our Lord and Savior? Or do we think him as someone that has to do as I request. Servant. Perhaps the Lord wants to test us to see if we trust Him thoroughly or not. Are we not limiting our Lord by asking Him to do in my way? Lord, come quickly so that you can lay your hands, which has a faith. Yes. Are we not somehow underestimating our Lord by asking Him to do in a certain way? I guess that was the case with Jairus. Come quickly as possible. Once she is dead, you don't have to come anymore. However, the main reason why Jesus delayed is this. He was inviting Jairus by his delay to trust him totally. Do not fear, only believe. When Jesus went to the house, there were many people wailed loudly in the ancient world. When someone died, people hired professional wailers. Sounds ridiculous these days, but believe me, some countries still do that. Someone passes away, you hire someone to cry for you. When Jesus said, "The child is not dead, but sleeping," they ridiculed him. But look what Jesus does. Talitha kumi, which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked. Now when we read this passage, probably read this passage 1,000 times, and the danger is that we read without really thinking. But if you look at this, imagine this scene. This is remarkable because he was talking and speaking to dead corpse, a dead body. Can you imagine talking to a dead body? Jesus spoke to the dead girl, just as God spoke in the darkness, "Let there be light." Just as God created new life out of nothing, the dead body heard him and came into life. Psalm 104:29 says, "You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created. You renew the face of the earth." The miracles that Jesus performed indicates that he is God. And that's not the only indication of the miracles. It indicates something more glorious, which is coming at the end of the redemptive history. Both these healings, healing of the woman and raising the dead girl, was a foretaste of our glorious resurrection in Jesus Christ. Makes us look forward to the world, heaven and earth that Jesus rules, where there's no more tears and sorrows and sickness and death. So brothers and sisters, what is Mark telling us? What is the Holy Spirit telling us through this story? This lesson is very simple. Have faith. Have faith in Jesus Christ, who can heal and raise us from the dead. Have faith in this one who took out all our sins and crucified them on the cross so that we may have eternal life through him. Your faith may be weak and imperfect. It may be filled with doubts and even superstitions. But what really matters is that you trust in him, not trusting your actions and yourselves and your doubts and your superstitions are the proofs that you yourselves are not reliable, but Jesus is. because he is perfect Savior. Amen.
Let us pray.
Our gracious Father in heaven, we come to you as one congregation after listening to your word. We pray that you would touch our hearts, that your word may be well planted. Help us to learn from you, you being warm and pastoral to the sick and afflicted. Help your servants to learn that quality. At the same time, make us realize our flaws and the shortness of limited thinking, and also our finite knowledge. Help us to submit to you, not relying on our own understanding. Help us to grow in your wisdom also by trusting you totally. That we confess our sin, our weakness, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father who freely pardons our sins for the sake of what Christ has done for us. Help us to remember every day so that we may strive daily to live according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.